about moving forward as a church in 2025 and what that may look like. And you know, for the last few months, I have been sensing a change within Church At. And I've been praying through that. I've been trying to articulate that through my head. And a month ago or so, I went to our eldership, who's an amazing, we have an amazing eldership church. We have an amazing eldership that they, you know, they do exactly what an eldership should do. They are there for the spiritual guidance, the spiritual covering of the church. And so I went to them, I said, hey, look, this is what I sense God is saying to me. I need you to go and pray and see whether or not this is God or whether this is just me or what. And so I gave them a few weeks, and so they came back and we talked, we discussed, and everyone had a sense in their heart that no, this is the direction forward for us as a church. And so, as I said, I shared at team night the other night, and it's interesting, you know, we are a church that I think change will always be part of who we are. Change will always be in our DNA because we want to be a church that follows where God is going and follows what God has called us to do. And so part of our vision as a church is we want to be a church that plants congregations. We want to be a church that plants congregations in the community of Invercargill. We all have a desire to see a big church. We just don't want to see a big church on one Sunday. We want to see a big church in many places over the Sunday in regards to our Sunday services. And so for many of you, you know, we know that we've been meeting in this building. We rent this off the Presbyterians, and they've been very gracious with us. And when we couldn't find a building, they said, come and use our building. And so we've been here for the last wee while. But over the last 12 months, you know, a few of us have constantly been looking for a new building because this is really not conducive to modern day church and what we're after as a church. And over the Christmas break, I was away with my family, and although my body and that was rested, my mind was constantly going, and I was saying to God, why haven't we found a building that we can move into in the city? And I really felt him say, you haven't got a building because you're looking for the wrong building. You're not meant to have a church in the city center. You're meant to have churches in the congregations and in the communities. And so that got me going on my journey with God, and goes, okay, well, what does this year look like? I mean, I know I've shared that we're going to be, this year we're going to focus heavily on leadership development, we're going to focus heavily on team development, and we're also going to focus heavily on community development, both within the church and both outside of the church. But all that together, there's also, I believe God is calling us to transition this year and to embrace fully what God has called Church At to be. And so what we're going to be doing over this next year, over this next few months that we have, we're going to transition out of having a congregation in the city. So what does that look like? Well, for many of you, we have used a building in Otatara that's owned by the Presbyterians, and you'll know that we have been in negotiations with them to purchase that building, and they've come back, and at the moment we've got an agreement, yes, we're going to purchase it, so now we're just working in the details of how we're going to do that. So we're going to have a building that we own in Otatara. You know that we've planted a congregation in Waikiki that is right now meeting as we speak, and so they meet in the Donovan School. But what we're going to do is we're going to plant two congregations, one in Otatara and another congregation in another area of the city yet to be decided, and we're going to have three congregations running simultaneously at the same time. Now, as well as that of having the community, having the vision of having our church services, our services are our Sunday expression of the church. They don't represent the church. They're a Sunday expression. And so in the city, there's very much an active live community within the church, within the city, Monday right through till Saturday. And so what we're also going to do is we're actually going to launch a city hub in the heart of the city. And in the city hub, it's going to have our offices, it's going to have counseling rooms, it's going to have meeting rooms, but it's also going to have a cafe. And we're going to launch a cafe in the city. And we're going to build community around that, and we're going to build community around that, around our offices, around our prayer rooms and counseling rooms and meeting rooms. We're going to load in the podcast studio. Everything's going to operate out of this hub in the city. And that's going to be in the city, visible in the city, reaching the community in the city Monday through till Friday, Saturday. And then on Sunday mornings, we're going to meet in our church services that we have scattered around the city. It's not so much a change, it's more of an embrace fully of what God has called us to do as a church. Because we've always known that this is what God has called us to do. And this is the year that we are going to fully embrace that and transition into that space. So over the next wee while, we'll be busy searching for premises to put our city hub, and also look for premises to launch a third congregation. And so there's a lot of changes and transition shifts that will happen over this next year. And if this is your first Sunday with us today, welcome to Church At. Welcome. And but it's exciting. It's exciting because as a church, we know that we have a different call on us. We're not going to look like your normal church does. And we've got a very specific call, and this year is about embracing that and moving into that and stepping into that. And so it is a scary place to be, but as a church, the way I see it is when we planted the congregation in Waikiki, we sent a team to do that. And the exciting thing is I look around this auditorium today and I just see a whole heap of church planters. I see a whole heap of church planters. And we're going to grab the call that God has given us, and we're going to step into that fully, and we're going to move into that. So I've got, I have articulated that into paper form. And so I have a heap of these, which I'll place out the back as I head out. So take one as you leave. And I know that through this process, obviously a lot of questions are raised, etc., etc. And so if you do have questions, I'm happy to answer any question that you have. And so I'm out of the office Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, 9 to 5. There's always coffee on. So if over the next few days you go, oh, what about that? What about that? How's that going to work? What about that? What about that? Come and see me. Come and see me and sit down and chat and talk about this whole vision and moving forward in that, because it is an exciting. It is exciting. I said to the team night the other night, I'm not afraid of change. I love change. I thrive on change. So change for me is not scary. And so, like I said, I will just change stuff at home just for the sake of changing. I drive my wife nuts. I'll just change the lounge just for the sake of it. I was selling cars and she'd come home and she'd go, where's my car? And I'm like, I sold it. Here's your new one. But so change, it changes, I'm fine with change. And I think we all have to be okay with change. We all have to allow God, because we allow God to change us. And God also changes how we do things. It doesn't change the what, but sometimes he changes the how we do it. And now we're moving into the how, and we're moving forward in that, and we're pressing go on that. So on your way out, be sure to grab one of these. They'll just be on the information counter on the exit there. Grab one, and please ask me any questions. Email me, phone me, come and have a coffee with me. And as we negotiate and transition into change this year. Amen? Amen? Awesome. It's my privilege to welcome Pastor Steve Carney to the stage to share the message this morning. And so, Steve, come and we receive you as a prophet. We receive the message and the word that you bring to us. And we pray that as you preach the word of God, that it goes into our hearts and we leave different. We leave changed, different to how we walked in. And we walk out closer with Jesus. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Steve Carney.
No pressure. Awesome. Steph said she had a word for the church. Was that okay? You quickly up here, sweetie. Run. That's a walk.
Whatever if I run. Sorry. So I've been traveling with Dad and learning the prophetic, and so he says, all right, well, bring a word for today. So I says, okay, Lord, what do you want to say? And so I believe this is what he said, and he said, behold, for the Lord comes with fire, with his chariots like a whirlwind. And I believe what he's saying is that he wants to come in to church at like a whirlwind, whipping through the people, just like with his disciples at Pentecost. I believe he's wanting to light some fires within the people here, and he wants to create ministers of fire who burn with the need to use the Holy Spirit as he opens up new gifts in his members here. In Psalms it says, who makes his angel spirits, his ministers, flames of fire? I believe that there are dormant gifts sprinkled throughout this room and in your other church as well, and that there, over the next season, those gifts are going to start to surface in willing people. That there is a season of discovery and training coming as young and old begin to move in the Spirit as they willingly allow God to move in their lives. I believe he's saying that there is not just, it's not just going to pop up willy-nilly. It's going to be in, sorry, it's going to, the common denominator is going to be those that are really digging in and opening themselves to what he has for them. Starting to build really solid, strong relationships with him and taking it to another level. For the Lord does not see a man as man sees, but he sees our hearts where we see the outer appearance. And I believe God is saying today that you're going to be surprised at who comes out with the gifts of the Spirit. There's going to be people that you have no idea, you would never have thought, because what we see is not what he sees.
Amen. Amen. Good one, Steph. Yep. Hasn't there got to be another generation that rises up? And that's what we're here for. We're here to prepare for this next generation that comes through. I don't know if you did your daily reading this morning. I did, because I was panicking about being here. And in John 16:13, I have a lot more to tell you, but it would be too much for you now. The Spirit of truth comes and he will guide you into full truth. I believe the Lord wants to tell us stuff, and he's just busting to pour out his bounty upon you and upon me. And he's got a story. And I think you sung a song. He rewrote my story and my testimony. I want to look at the story of God today. How great thou art. And just want, again, one of your songs was about attention. I would just love to have your attention this morning, because God wants to speak. He's speaking a story. It's God's story. And he's inviting you, and as we have John O come up here and he's speaking to you about vision, he's inviting you into his story. He's inviting you into church at story, because this story has been going for a long time. And so this morning he wants to do that, invite you in to that story. I don't know if you remember Lord of the Rings a long time ago. There was a couple of characters called Frodo and Sam. And there's just one statement that caught me, and that was this. One looked at the other, and they were packed up, and they're going on an adventure. And they looked at each other, and they said, what kind of story are we in? We're all in a story. You're in a story. And this morning, the day begins and the day ends. There's different actors, there's different plots, there's different things that happen in your life. Years go by like chapters in a novel. Our life sometimes is a tragedy. Sometimes our life is a comedy. And sometimes our life, it's a soap opera. And as we go through, Langwine says this, all of life is a story. You see, the first thing I do when Stephanie gets into my car and she drives down the road and she writes it off and she comes home is, Steph, what happened? Tell me your story. Because it helps the way that I respond to that. Somebody run the lights and T-boned her. And it helps me, oh, That's awful. And I get to understand her story as she begins to tell me that story. And I react, and it changes the way I feel about things. You need to know the story that you're in, because it changes the way that you respond to God. See, for many of us, a story is like a movie that we've come 40 minutes too late for, and we're right in the middle of that story. It's kind of like, I guess, the pages in a book, and we come to the middle and we tear some pages out of that. We're holding our part of the story. Every single one of us this morning is here. We're not sure where we fit. We're not sure what has gone before. We're not sure what's coming after, but we're part of that. They have context. They're meaningful. Have they lost their context? Where do we lie in this story? And this morning, I want you to know where you lie in the story that God is telling, that you have become part of, and that Church At is part of. Where do I fit? Because it seems like we've been pulled out of the middle of something. And you are. You're in the middle of something. Amen. I wished it was like a mall. You know, where you go to the mall and there's a big sign that's got a red arrow and it says, you are here. And then I would know where to go, the big picture. I'd get my bearings. It's great if we had a map like that. Christianity is that map. Not just going to church or being good or something like that, but every single one of you this morning, we've got to get a hold of this. We are in an epic. We're in something eternal. We're in something dangerous, and it's unfolding with you in it. Something waiting in your future to discover, and something that is critical that you have a role to play. That's what's written in your heart. Every single one of us, young or old, we've got something in our heart that says we're going to live forever. Eternity is written in the hearts of men and women. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. It's in there. We just sense it. Even the ungodly will go to a funeral and they'll kick the tires or they'll stand there and they'll go, we'll see him later. Because in them is a sense that we were born for eternity and we're in a story that is eternal. Amen? Praise God. Our story has a once upon a time. It's a phrase that's full. I don't know about you, but as a kid, as mom or dad would start to read a story, they would start and they'd go, once upon a time. And it's just full of legend. It's full of mystery. It's an invitation to come in. Let us show you. Once upon a time, maybe there was a queen and a king that didn't have a child. Or once upon a time, there was a beautiful maiden that lived with a wicked stepsister. Or four children named Peter, Edmund, Susan, and Lucy in Nadia. All the great stories, I don't know that you've heard, if you've heard any of those, start with once upon a time. And your story starts with that. Your story starts with in the beginning. That's where your story starts. This is when God began to create. Robert Adler, a Hebrew expositor, says this: much happened before your story, before when God began to create. Much happened. And we need to know this, the story behind the story, the once upon an eternity. In the beginning was the Word, 1 John 4, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And in him that it was the life, and the life was the light of the men. In the beginning. Right back, before your story even started, there was something happening that you have been invited into. I remember my mum went out to a little church out at Arapuki, and there was a family, Kents, I think, the Marv and Dawn Kent, and that family, and she was a mum, and she didn't have her husband with her, and we came along, they're all the kids, And they invited us home from church, and we had, you know, oh brother, we had shooting and apple pie, and yeah, this big V8 thing. And I didn't write the story, but they invited us into their story. They invited us into their family, into a story that was happening and that was moving through. And we came in to that story. And they made a place for us. Your children have been invited into your story. They've been born into your house. A young man or a woman, as they come into their story that God is telling, you've been invited, or your children are invited into an ongoing story that is happening. The gospel is an invitation to come in to a larger story. Church, I'm just speaking to you about the story that's happening around about you, to understand where you fit in the pages of what is going down. An invitation to the gospel. Once upon a time. Now, I don't know about you, but why does every story have a villain? It's hard for me to think of a story that doesn't have a villain. Can you give me a villain? Anyone?
Saruman.
Yes, Saruman. Yeah, what else? Satan. Yeah, he's a villain. He's the top of the list. Hitler. He's a villain. The Queen and Snow White, yes. Evil step, yeah, I've got here, Snow White and the evil thing, the evil stepmother of the three sisters, absolutely. The Wicked Witch of the West, Scar the Lion King, all of our stories, all of them. Most of our stories have a villain because yours does. All over the years, it gives us a chill down our back because it's spoken as a warning, because your story has a villain too, and you need to know that. You need to know that there's a villain in your story. Things have happened prior to your scene, things that you must know, and this morning that I'm talking to you about, you need to know that things have happened prior. God comes, this is before he began to create the heaven and the earth. And he creates angels. Now, I don't know about you, but no, I'm not talking about the fat, squishy ones with the wee wings that you wonder how they would ever get off the ground. Okay, I think there's a cherub, or I don't know what they are. But the universal response when they meet an angel is fear. They say, it's okay, don't worry. But it says that they are holy, terrifying and dreadful. And when they come to the shepherds, the angel says, don't be afraid. Yet I see in Chronicles 2, 32 to, and 1, 180,000 people were killed by one angel in one night, the Assyrian army. In one night. These are fearful, not fat, chubby little things with wings that can't get them off the ground. These are beings that stand tall, that are huge, that bring down thousands upon thousands of people with a swipe of a sword. This is your story. In 2 Samuel 24:15, one angel destroys 70,000 people when David sins. 70,000 people. This is God's story. This is the universe's equivalent to Delta Force, Navy SEALs, SAS. This story is not nearly as safe as you have been led to believe. You can say, oh, this is all right, this is fine, this is just a really safe story. This is not a safe story that you're in. And when we pluck the pages out, we've got to know what has come before and what is coming after. Because we're in God's story, and it's a story that he's telling. Our word history comes from his story. It is the only story that's worth telling this morning. It's a story of our great God. The head of all the host, the captain, Lucifer, Isaiah 14 verse 12, son of the morning, glorious, noble, beautiful, glory of God. It takes a first dramatic turn. He feels like he's been cheated in verse 13. He doesn't want to have a support role like an actor. He wants to be the main thing, the star. He turns on his maker in verse 14. One third of the angels revolt against the Trinity. War in the heavens to seize the throne. Ruin of so many glorious ones without remorse. Milton says this of that moment. Ruin of so many glorious ones, horrible discord, noise and conflict, flaming dart, war overhead, ruinous assault. Does this sound safe? Indistinguishable rage, all the heaven resounds. If the earth had been then, it would have been shook to its core. Deeds of eternal fame were done. Infinitely spread that conflict on ground and sky, conflict in the heavens, till Michael smote the squadrons of angels with his mighty sword. I bought my sword today. And Michael, the archangel, he's the one that stands for the church. He's the one that's the spiritual warrior, the leader of angels, the guardian of the church, defender of Israel. Michael, like that angel that knocks down 180,000 in a stroke, Michael stands, terrible edge to come down, author of evil unknown till this revolt. How have you disturbed heaven's blessed happiness? His misery to nature. How did you instill your misery into thousands upright now proved false? Cast you out. And he took his sword and cast legion upon legion upon legion. Because he's the mighty Michael. Angel of God. When they rose up against him. We got to understand that some amazing stuff has happened before our story. Heaven cast them down. Then, I don't know if you can imagine this, but it's like, you know, before a symphony plays in a building, it's like, it just goes still. There's a hush. There's a moment before the first note, before the windows of the morning open up to the new day. The battle for the human heart over darkness and the deep, it starts there. The word is spoken, here we go, and there's light. Another word is spoken and the canopy of heaven is revealed, bluer than blue that you can ever imagine. Another word is spoken and a landmass rises up out of the sea. Another word is spoken and forests and meadows and plants fill the earth, grapes and blackberries. Imagine how big they are, because when they come out of the promised land, they had two to carry one bunch of grapes with a stick. And this is creation. They've got to be big suckers. You would get the after splash if I bit one here today. We feel God's pleasure. And don't rush into Genesis 3, because we need to understand that God is doing something. The prairie blooms, the Alps under the snow, the African savanna, the opening of Lion King, the whole thing as he begins to create. I don't know how they do it. You know, the hum, whatever, you know, is the Lion King, the start of that. And the sun comes up and he stands and he looks over all of that savanna. God is creating. He creates rocks and stone and clay, and he sweeps across with light and darkness, heaven and earth, details, forests, meadows, flowers, animals, horses, praise God. And then he does something astounding. He says, let's make man in our own image. After the likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and every cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created male and female, created he them. We hear about original sin, but what about original glory? What about original glory? Why do women seek to be beautiful? And men seek to be bold? And it's because there's echoes of Eden We know that we were once more than we are now. There's echoes, a sound of a restoration or restoring of the kingdom. We remember that we are once more than we are. And God gives us freedom that staggers me. It seems like God is shy to use his power in creation to make puppets or cringing subjects. He doesn't want people that will just do because he's brought them under the... He's created you to be lovers. He's created you to be friends. He's created you to be allies and to join him. And this is where our story takes a tragic end. Because evil was lurking in that garden, and Satan comes to the garden and he tells the same lie. This is why we need to know the story that we're in. He tells the same lie that he told the angels. Can't trust God. He's holding out on you. Reach for what you want. Take matters into your own hands. Rewrite the story. You can get a better part. And we believed him, and paradise is lost. And in the heart, something shifts. We reach and we fall. We betrayed him. And they were lost. Consider this morning, that every story has a rescue. You see it. Jack rescues Rose. Wallace rescues Scotland. Maximus frees Rome and Gladiator, and Aslan comes in Nadia. Every story has a rescue. Because guys, your story has a rescue too. Yours does. Kindergarten said there was called a parable. And so he goes through, he's a king and he's on a horse and he sees this beautiful knock-dead girl. He's a king, so he can take her. He can just take her off the street and take her to his castle. But he wondered, would she ever love him? And so he dresses as a beggar and goes into the street to see if he can win her heart. You know, the Ancient of Days came as a carpenter to win your heart. It's huge cost, not to dominate over you, but out of free will, looking for you to be lovers, friends, allies, and to join him this morning. Even as the Son of Man, Matthew 20:28, came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. He's executed on the cross to pay a ransom, to win us back from darkness, to show us that we matter, and to show us that the heart of God, it's good. I don't know where you've been, but you got to know that the heart of God, it's good. And there's a hush. Like in Maximus and Gladiator, like in Wallace, it's Jesus is on the cross, he's executed. Something great, something important is taking place. And there's a hush over the whole place. And the Roman soldier says this, he says, surely this is the Son of God. He gets it. He gets it, church. This is the Son of God. We're kind of in the middle of our story. And they lived, every story has, ever after. The most beautiful phrase in the library of mankind. They lived ever after. In Nadia, it says, this is only the beginning. Your life is only the title page of adventures that have never been written. The enemy is a thief, and he's taken away the joy of your happy ever after. And you got to know that that is out there for you. The kingdom restored, paradise regained, Revelation 21:5, behold, I make all things new, all things. In all of the sermons and illustrations that Jesus took, it was about the kingdom. He says of the blind man, he says, and the blind they will see color and texture and beauty and dimension and vista. The deaf they will hear music and laughter and children's voices, and the lame they will dance, and the dead will rise and be given back to their loved ones. All things new, a new heaven and a new earth. That's our story. That is our story. For we know that the whole creation travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, groan in ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Man, all of creation is hanging out for this story. Because where you are is in the middle. And there is an end. Not an eternal church service. We get the kingdom back. What we once were. What he created. The sobering truth is not everybody and not every story has a happy ever after. Jesus tells a story of the banquet, where he prepared a banquet and people wouldn't come. This happy ever after is reserved for the friends of God. That's our happy ever after. And he's reserved it for you. Where else is there for us? Hell was never created for you. My Bible says that hell has enlarged itself. It was made for the devil and his angels, as God and Michael cast them down to the earth forever. And heaven was made big enough for every single one of us on earth that would ever be, it was ever going to be. But if we don't take that supper, if we don't come to the table, and he's calling us and he wants us to be engaged within that story, then where else is there? And yet it says it has to, had to enlarge itself. Freedom to choose for or against. Praise God, that day has not come. The offer still stands. Praise the Lord. Set before you life and death. Our old favorites we preach in church, John 10:10, that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 3:16, everlasting life. To have life. The restoration of life as it is always meant to be. Good days and a blessed year. That's what he wants to give us. He stood when he picked up the word in the New Testament and he said, that is put into place right now. Good days and a blessed year. The sheep and goats. The sheep are blessed of the Father. Take your inheritance. He's prepared for you since the foundation of the world. I wrote down here, he has made up a bed for you. He's made a place for you. He has a place for you. We get the kingdom back. In Eden, there was four rivers flowing out. I'm guessing that it was God's heart that his children would go and those four rivers and bring life to the whole world. I don't know, but I see those four rivers going out of Eden, flowing out of there. Praise God, there's going to be a moment there when we come around the bend and we'll be home. We'll paddle down the Amazon. Be no fishing for you. Today we long to see and be. To see and be. all of creation, your body travails to see and to be. All that was wounded is swept away. But for all the mistakes we made, this is good news. And the real life begins. Let him overturn everything that is broken, evil, and not right. Baby Jesus is a seed, is the seed of promise. Would you stand? This is your story. This is where you're tucked in this story, every single one of you. Joy to the world. Let the earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him a room. Would you prepare him a room today? Church, if you have even just, you've got slack, you've just been cruising along, I'm a Christian. This story is not as safe as you think it is. And there's much to be gained and there's much to be lost. And in this moment, I want you to let every heart, prepare room. Your song says, give all of attention. How great thou art. The promise still stands. These are the songs that you sung this morning. Grace rewrote my history. Let him rewrite your history right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let every heart prepare him room. The angels' voices, let them ring to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and his favor. It is towards you. He has made a bed for you. He has prepared for you. He has set it up for you. Praise God. And he is ready for you today. Who is the light of the world? The context to this story, your story, is Jesus. And it has a good ending. And today, if there's anyone, even, I'm not going to ask you to maybe come to the altar, but there's a heap of us that are just doing Christianity. And he's been walking past you. Like the prophet, the little woman. That makes a room for him. And today he's saying, she's a good woman, just like you. But he's walking past. She perceives, and today God is walking past you. And would you make him a room? Not a lower room, but a room on the top of the roof. In your head, in your mind, right now, make a room. Because I've got to tell you that that little woman didn't know what they were going to bless her with. She always yearned for a child, but she never asked for anything. And when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you come into his story, you come into the kingdom, you come into a kingdom lost that now is won. And you get more than you bargained for because he has made a place for you. He has made a place for you. Don't go to sleep on me. Your song said, I give you my attention. I give you my attention. If you would bow your head right now, because partway through there, I just felt things prickling up my arms as we were singing one of those songs. If you bow your head and close your eyes, you would lift your hand because you're being invited to a meal today. You'll be invited into a story today. Maybe even a story that you were totally unaware of, that your pages were plucked out. But today we put those pages back in your hand. For you to respond. Why do men seek to be bold? Why do women seek to be beautiful? Because we were once more eternity in your heart, echoes of Eden. If this is speaking here today, your head's bowed, would you lift your hand to the mighty God? To the mighty God. To the mighty God. Would you do that? Bold man, echo of Eden, beautiful woman. Would you do that? Would you just lift your hands? Would you lift your hands? I don't want to make it easy for you. Yeah. Come on. I can't understand how the whole church hasn't got their hands up. Because it's a season where you've got to make room for him. John got up and he says, there's things that are going to transpire here. Make room. Make room. Make room. Will you do that? I see Rose with hands up. I see Rose with hands up. Make room. Make room. Bold men, beautiful woman. Father, right now as we have our hands toward heaven, Father, we pray, put another garment on us. Drop another garment on us. Lord, drop another garment on us that we would go, like Jono said, leave this place totally different. That we come into the house of God one way and we leave another. Father, we pray for that garment of salvation in Jesus' mighty name, that every man and every woman in this place would hear the echoes of a kingdom lost and a kingdom won. Cause you to overshadow. Shadow releases what overshadows you. There's something overshadowing you. And as the people come and the people were put out on the street, there's something that overshadows Peter, it overshadows you. And as they get under that shadow, there's something that God has spoken into your heart and your life to do within the city. People notice you heal them and they recognize the Holy Spirit on you, a sense of the presence you carry. Paul gives you a secret into your ministry and anointing. Lay hands on them, not just point, but contact. Lay hands on you. The kingdom of God is in me. The power is released, and there will be impartation. I believe in the city you're going to impart something as you spread through the city. What you carry is going to get on people, and they're going to come under your shadow. They're going to want to come close. The key, he was moved with compassion for them that healed their sickness. Now learn to tap into God's affection where the heart is drawn. Restricted by our affections. Dead Sea affections going nowhere. They're just going inward. Affection that's supposed to change people, the world, the atmosphere, the surrounding, an affection, a shadow that comes over the city. Friendship, not task. And God's calling you to friendship. And it's going to overshadow you. And it's going to overshadow other people. And they're going to pull themselves out of and onto the street so that they will be under your shadow. I believe God is speaking to this church. Lyle, are you ready? I will do it again. I don't know what he did before, but he said, I will do it again. They preach with boldness. Backed by miracles, the Lord looked at their threat and granted us boldness. Boldness attracts God's demonstration of power. Prayed, and it got them in trouble. And he says, increase that. And if ever I've seen somebody that would say, increase trouble, I'm going to do it again, that's you. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. You're going to be esteemed highly in this city. The point is that you have access to unlimited strength. The devil does not. His branches severed. He has few green leaves. and he's not attached to the life source. Great things about demons are they're not making any more of them. Increase in boldness attracts heaven. Challenge is not to get revival, but to use what he has already given you. He has given you stuff. He has spoken into you. He will do it again. Jesus Christ had the Holy Spirit in him and on him as the Father tore open the heavens, and no demon can stitch it back. Praise God, you are a noise that tears the heavens. It declares it's here today. It's here today. It's here today, and he will do it again. He will do it again. Amen. The Lord's speaking to you. This is kind of not an altar call like normal, but it is just showing that I want to stand for this. I want to stand with this. I just had three as I came, so I just want to discharge that, Dave. I just come to remind you. I wrote this probably about 2 months ago. To remind you, just in time, sin doesn't make you bad, it makes you dead. You were sinking, and Jesus came at the right time, and he wrapped you up. You know that. He held you, and he embraces you. No, Lord, I've got this. I'll fix this. He says, let me help or you'll sink. So he's coming to you again. He's saying, you cannot carry this. You cannot hold this. Address me the right way. Good, but one, that's God. If I am God, then address me so. Religion is proud of you, but the gospel is proud of Jesus. Am I good, Lord? No, he's good. Still sinners, yet still loved. We look in the mirror and we see ourselves, David. Comparison to God, discover that you are not good. Jesus looks at you like the rich young ruler, and he loved him. The law never makes demands. Sorry, the law never stops making demands. Grace is full of supply. Grace is full of supply. He looks, he loves, it's enough. He drives us to our knees and we cry out. He will fulfill what you can't, you couldn't, and he promises, I will finish it. He draws you in. And there's a promise that he will finish what you started. He wants you to know that there's no good thing in you. He's the good. And he just loves you. He just loves you, and he will finish what you fear that you can't. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fantastic. Those of you who have responded, just lay your hands right now on your heart. Let me just pray right across this room. Father, I thank you for my brother and sisters. I thank you for every soul, every heart. Look, God, I thank you that you are part of my church family. Lord, we've heard vision. It's exciting. But vision by itself is nothing without the proponents that you use to fulfill it. And Lord, you've drawn each one of us into this space. You've connected our hearts. You've created a space where, Lord, we can step out in faith. And Lord God, we're on the edge of our seats. We're in that space right now where we're in that scary, excited space where we're excited, yes, but we're scared because we got to step into the unknown. And Father, each person that has responded today have responded to that. And Lord, I pray, Father, right now, Holy Spirit, come upon each heart, that you'll set upon each heart, that you'd bring peace, that, Lord God, you continue to unpack, Lord God, with clarity, purpose. And God, when opportunities and promptings become loud in our hearts and our ears, that, Lord God, we'll be bold to respond in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we will not lack anything. That we will have your grace to fulfill all that you've called us to in Jesus' name. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon each family that's represented. And I ask, Lord God, may the testimony that comes out of our lives bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.